Jesus, author and perfecter of our faith. Commentary for the March 12, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Walking the path of Christ can be a lonely endeavor. Sometimes we forget that in Western society, because we have freedom to gather for worship and are no longer tortured or slain for our faith. But in much of the world, that is not the case. There, Christians are often scorned, tortured, and killed, especially if their words and lifestyle expose by example the societal moral corruption that surrounds them. Those who feed on that corruption not only abuse those compassionate souls who expose them, they train each succeeding generation to do the same. Children are not born hating others. They are taught to hate them for their societal caste, their skin color, their cultural idiosyncrasies, the clothing they wear, their hairstyles, and yes, even their religion. Unfortunately, too many who consider themselves Christians have learned to do this as well. They not only scorn other faith traditions, but they also even discriminate against those Christians who are either affiliated with a different denomination than their own, or are Christian and unaffiliated with any denomination. Though they pay lip service to the idea that Christ died for all, the inclusiveness is very rigidly defined to exclude those not in their social clique. But they rail against that which is invisible to them. The foolishness they mock is based on outward observance. Even a minor physical or mental aberration is enough to bring either whispered or outspoken ridicule and laughter and gestures from those wanting the tormentor's approval. Belief in God is seen as a mental failing by many, and acting upon that belief is seen as a physical manifestation of that mental failing. Foolishness, as Paul said to the Corinthians. The irony is that those who give their heart to God and seek to walk a path to develop the character of Christ are often the most compassionate and empathetic among us. They are not found deriding others because they do not believe or do not fit in. Instead, they are the healers, the peacemakers, and the ones whose hearts are broken when they see others suffer in any way. A thirst and hunger for justice and righteousness in the world emanates from their hearts, where they have been written by the finger of God. Yet, like Christ, they are scorned for giving in to the weakness and foolishness of caring for those around them. Their motives are maligned, and if others begin to question injustice because of their lives of compassion, they are dealt with as inciters of rebellion, imprisoned, and too often murdered. It has been this way for millennia, even since the beginning when Cain murdered Abel for no other crime than simply living out his faith. So very many times since then, the blood of others has been mingled with Abel's for similar reasons, becoming an evil sea, and the earth cries out at the injustice, waiting for the promised deliverance. While Abel died in his innocence at his brother's hand and represents those who truly are sons and daughters of God and citizens of that kingdom, Cain, even though he knew God to exist and even communicated with him, turned away, denying God a place in his life. Continuing a path of oppression and injustice toward others, he and his descendants brought so much evil into the world that only annihilation could bring it to a stop. Sadly, the handful of diluvians who survived that cataclysm still carried the seeds of injustice in their hearts. While the world was swallowed in water then, humanity now has the power to engulf the world in radioactive flame. And relying on their power to rain down that flame from the skies, they viciously impose their will on others, especially those who do not have such power, and take what they will in property and lives, scarring large areas of the earth with their avariciousness. Groaning under the weight of such abuse, the earth can only wait until the point is reached where only cleansing by fire can offer rest and the opportunity for restoration. In another irony, after turning from God and bringing about this result, rather than own responsibility for the mess, humanity chooses agnosticism or atheism, claiming it is doubtful that God exists because he didn't step in and clean our dirty diapers. So we wail in our mess, and like Cain, we turn and walk away, dripping, but with God as our scapegoat, the same God whose existence we doubt or deny. Prophets tried to point out how to change our diapers. We killed them. Jesus came to show us how to go about without dirty diapers. We killed him too. Over time, we got better at it. We killed hundreds, then thousands, then hundreds of thousands, and now we can sweep millions into their graves with efficiency and panache, blaming it all on an indifferent God. After all, if God does not care about human life, why should we? But then the argument moves to its conclusion. A compassionate God would not allow such evil. Therefore, God must not exist. God then simply becomes like a zero in mathematics, a placeholder without intrinsic value, something that we can conveniently hang responsibility on for our own hard and evil hearts. Once we went down the path of irresponsibility, we tried to create organizations to address injustice. We created courts, both national and international, the League of Nations and the United Nations. We signed treaties and held conventions. But all we managed to create was a system of unenforceable rules that prevent intervention to stop conflict and injustice when it arises. For a while, the idea of mutual nuclear destruction was a deterrent to outright warfare among the major powers. But that has morphed into nuclear blackmail that insists if anyone interferes with an illegal aggression, they will see fire rain from the skies, bringing a nuclear holocaust. It is only natural that under such conditions, nuclear defense will be sought after, especially by many smaller nations incapable of a conventional defense against aggression by a larger, more capable belligerent. But we did not need to arrive here. Like Abel, we could have all accepted the existence of God and kept faith in his compassion. He demonstrated that compassion even with Cain, who feared others would take his life as he had taken Abel's. He placed a mark on Cain to warn others that God wanted his life spared. And yet another irony, the very God humanity denies continues to demonstrate compassion and grace toward those who turn away. As Christ said, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5:45. Why does he do so? He does it to model how we should be toward one another. Some have claimed that we do not need God to tell us that. Our own enlightened self-interest will cause us to be compassionate because we want to live in a compassionate world. But if God's compassion could not achieve that end, how will we? Even the strength of military might seems incapable of accomplishing the most important ingredient for change, a metamorphosis of the human heart from stone to flesh. Over 600,000 died in the American Civil War that resulted in the emancipation of the slaves. But almost 200 years later, some are still fighting that war in their hearts and doing all they can to oppress those set free. Since then, we have had many wars with a similar result, the hardening of hearts into nearly impenetrable stoniness. God offers to change all of that, offering to replace the stone with flesh. But he can only make that promise real for those who choose to believe he exists. He makes that promise while standing and knocking at our heart's door. He does not force his way in. That is not the way of compassion and grace. Some think that because they do not hear that knocking, he is no longer there or never was. But as we allow our hearts to indurate over time, they may no longer resonate to his knocking, and we lose the sense that God is seeking entrance. This can happen even if we belong to a church. Like Martha, we may be so engrossed in perfecting everything that we lose awareness of that knocking. Her sister, still able to hear it, was drawn instead to Jesus' feet, and her heart found rest in the Savior's presence, a rest that Martha was unaware she was missing. To have the experience of Mary, we need to have faith that there is someone on the other side of that door. Then, believing that, we can receive all he has to offer, including love, grace, peace, and rest. That faith has changed the lives of millions over the millennia, and it continues to do so today. Do we dare open that heart door despite our unbelief? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You may find hundreds more podcasts and the written versions of all the podcasts and other commentaries at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.